Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Arsenio Mass. You can follow me on Instagram at RSAY Podcast, or you can email me at 8blocksentertainment@gmail.com. Today, I have Jessica Rutz with me today. This was supposed to get done March of this year, but, with COVID and the quarantine happening and some personal stuff in life I didn't want to talk about, but we couldn't do it. So luckily, she has reached out to me because she has a special announcement that she wants to say, and which she's already put it out, but I'll let her do it in her own words. So without further ado, here's Jessica Rutz.
Yay. Hi, everybody. Hi, I'm Jessica Rutz, and I am running for Lieutenant Governor in Virginia for 2021. And I'm fighting for small business and for our veterans and for our communities overall. I'm very excited to do this for Virginia. One thing that hasn't really been announced is I am running independent. So I'm a conservative independent without putting a party to my name. And that's something I'm really excited for too, because I don't think we have too many conservative independents that actually run.
I like that idea. I like
that. So come June 2021, my name will go straight to the ballot for November the 2nd of 2021.
So with Justin Fairfax being the lieutenant governor now, how can you make yourself stand out and be different than the other two candidates that's going to be there?
So I think the biggest thing with me is so many candidates go for, I guess, the hot topics that are going on right now, COVID, mask mandates, gun rights. And while I support all of those in keeping our community safe and keeping our state from rising in numbers, I'm fighting for the small businesses. They're the ones that are being, I don't know, I guess, treated poorly right now when it comes to all of the mandates that keep coming down. And then I feel like Virginia is not handling mental health very well right now either. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and there's no extra help being brought to light for those who are having to suffer at home and not be able to get the help they need.
I would actually consider myself one of those vets. A common occurrence on the show, it's about, you know, psychedelics and taking psychedelics in order to treat depression or traumatic brain injury or PTSD. And through clinical studies, it's shown that, you know, 90% of the people that have taken these psychedelics have reported a better life, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be, I think psychedelic therapy would be great for vets, especially. Would that be something you would support, or maybe you would have to look into it a little more, or just off of, I mean, just going off of my word, obviously, it's going to be iffy, but you know what I mean.
So would it that is be something that I would be interested in looking at. Like, as a medical background person, I would want to research a little bit more, but it does have really great studies that reach out and it helps. So I'm all for getting our vets the help they need.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get in? Because you're obviously the president of the Rutz Foundation for suicide prevention. Can you kind of just walk me through how, you know, you got to where you are now?
So after many years of being in the military, I watched so many battle buddies and people I wasn't even close with lose their battle to suicide. And it's the stigma that gets shoved under the rug that no one pays attention to because it's tied to mental health. And when people think suicide, they think bad. And, oh, well, this person just couldn't do it no more, so they just did this to make it go away. And I was like, well, there has to be something that we can do in order to change the stigma and make it go away and still help our veterans get the help that they need. And so with the Rutz Foundation, we actually go for active duty military and for veterans, because there's so much of a stigma around active duty mental health that it'll just blow you away. Like, you think the first time you have a mental health crisis while you're active duty, your commander's just going to blow off at you, or they're going to do this, and so you don't go get the help you need. So we're here on the outside of things, and everything that goes through us is completely confidential.
Oh, that's great. Oh, wow. Might have to go see y'all.
We're always here.
I appreciate that. So, yeah, you're right about that, you know, because being in the military, they're basically training you for wartime. So when you're in what's called garrison, they put as much stress on you as possible so that you can adapt well when in wartime. But when you're not in wartime and you get out, it's like, okay, what do I do now? You know, because I'm pretty much training for the worst.
Right. So the military doesn't exactly train you for once you come home. You have the few weeks of reintegration, and then you're kind of like set on your own to learn how to readapt to your own lifestyle. And I've seen with the next spouse, I've seen that that reintegration period just didn't work. And the things that happened over there, he brought back home with him, and it wasn't very good. And he wasn't the person that would reach out for help.
Yeah.
So it took a lot to get the Army to open their eyes to that crisis.
Sure. Sure. Okay. So you, for small, you're running for small businesses and vets. That should be about 95% of Virginia's vote. And there you go. You're going to win.
I sure hope so. I have Virginia's best interests at heart. At the end of the day, I want what's right for our people, our vets, our small business owners. I don't want to see any more small businesses shut down. Like, that's the biggest thing that's breaking my heart, is that they're having to close their doors left and right. And it's some of the biggest small businesses I've ever seen are starting to contemplate shutting down.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's terrible. And now they're talking about a nationwide shutdown.
Right. And I just really hope that in my heart that our governor has his best intentions for Virginia, because while there's a national lockdown that he suggests, our governor does not have to follow him. So I'm just hoping that he realizes that Virginia is not, that's not what we need. We need to keep thriving and move past this COVID era so we can make the best of 2021.
Sure. I like that. All right, let's see here. So we kind of covered vets, and I didn't realize you were a vet. What branch did you serve in?
I was in the Army.
Oh, nice. Hoo-ah.
I think I've done roughly one article talking about that since we've started the foundation, because it's something, I don't know, I think people expect me to do what I do whenever I tell them that I'm a vet, but at the same time, I just want to do it because it's what I'm supposed to do. It's what's right.
I do see that freedoms, especially for small businesses, are being just stripped away completely.
Mm-hmm.
And in Liverpool, I uploaded a video today of Aaron, I think his Walton is his name. And it showed that the big government coming in, closing him down, forcing him and arresting him for having his doors open. Do you see that happening if now that Biden will be in office and with our current governor?
I can see that happening. And it's really sad that we had to come to this point, especially with the newest release from Northam saying that they're going to start enforcing it with the police departments on the 25 limits and all that. It's really sad that we had to come to this. And I don't get really political. I run a foundation. I run my own business, and it's mainly from social media. So politics are something you won't see me talk about on Facebook because they get me really upset.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your plan for small businesses other than staying open? And I mean, that's extremely important. Don't get me wrong. And I don't mean to laugh it off. It's just like, you know, but what would you say is important? I'm sorry.
No, I said, I understand, because if we don't laugh at this point, then we're just going to cry because of where we're at. So my biggest thing is to revamp small business, offer them grants, money that they don't have to pay back, because all this funding that seems to have came, like with PPP and with EIDL loans, they're loans. Like, it's not promised that your PPP is going to be forgiven. It's not promised that you're going to be able to stay in business and pay back an EIDL loan. So my thing would be grants to help these businesses rise back up. So I would say, you know, uplift some restrictions. So the 25 or less, but at the same time, I'm running for lieutenant governor. So all I can give him is advice, or whoever is in office at that time when I run.
Sure.
Is advice on, you know, small business can't survive with just 25 people. Like a big restaurant, like Orofino's, could have 30 people in there at once, and that still couldn't surpass him for the day.
Yeah.
So I really think it comes down to the point we need to look at the whole picture and see, you know, where our hot spots are, what's going on. We can keep the mask mandates, and we're still going to have people who don't abide by them, as well as we want everybody to. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to start thinking about how we can make things safer for more people to go out so we can support our businesses.
Yeah.
Because they have to survive. The most I got asked about today was like making vaccine mandatory for COVID. And I was like, as a mom, when you see that, you know, we went through this whole year, it's been horrible, and COVID's been horrible, and now they have this vaccine. As a mom, I can tell you I'm not going to make my kids go get it. And I'm not going to go get it because it hasn't ran its trials.
Yeah.
When my kids get a shot at the doctor to go to school, it's something that I was given 30 years ago, or that my mom was given 63 years ago. So we've seen its trial and how it's came to light. And I just can't see this vaccine being all worked out.
Not in a few months now.
No,
not
at all. There's no way.
I don't care how effective it is. Soon we'll be like The Walking Dead to you.
But my whole thing is, I was joking around with my friend. I was like, you know, if Congress will take this vaccine first and we get to see how it works over 3 weeks, then I'll take the vaccine. But we all know Congress is not going to take the vaccine before we do.
Right. You think they gave it to Trump?
I don't know. I don't think he'd go for it, to be honest.
You think he just toughed it through?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right on. I know you also have a boutique. You got the foundation. Don't you have something coming up for the foundation?
We have Christmas for Vets coming up.
Yes.
And then our events in 2021, if COVID don't take it away, is our we altered our 22K to a 26K because the military suicide rate increased by over 25% since COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's a huge number. And that came out in July. So I can only imagine where it's at right now.
Sure.
So we have the 26K or 24, I think it's 24, 12, 6, and 2-miler.
Yeah. I saw 20, what was it, 23 to 33. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Right? My husband's like, are you going to run this one? I'm like, I'm going to put it together. No one said I had to run it. I don't run no more.
Yeah,
I hear you. Political offices. That's about as running as you're getting.
Oh man, that's awesome though. Obviously, I've already asked you about the psychedelics, and you're willing to look into it. And marijuana is decriminalized in Virginia.
So that's something that I would push for legalcy.
Nice. Well, there you go. There's the question. Nice. Yep. That's good to hear. It's a medicine. It's not a drug, in my opinion.
Exactly. And if Oregon can legalize heroin and cocaine, yeah, I think marijuana is the least of our worries.
That's right.
They can't have a plastic straw there, but they can have heroin. So Oregon did great this year.
Yeah. It's like, yay. What state was it? New Jersey legalized weed. Well, Oregon legalized crack. So,
and I know there's a backing to it, like if you get a citation for it, they can put you through rehab if you choose, but I'm like, no one's gonna choose that. Yeah. Like they're just gonna take that little fine you're gonna give them and they're gonna go on.
Yeah. And so, I've heard, I don't know how true this is and I don't know what the facts are, but Brazil, they, you know, decriminalized all drugs, and the heavy use of the harder drugs dropped considerably.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, this is just something I heard. I don't know how true that is, but that's where I remember reading. So I think I would say hard drugs. I even believe psychedelics should be with a trained professional.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way it works. Because a lot of people, they look at like mushrooms and LSD as a party drug.
Right.
When in reality, it's something deeper than that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We might have to change their name a little bit.
Say that again.
I said we'll have to change the name of it considerably to get past the stigma of what's going to come with the party drug.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why most, like, I even call it psilocybin. I don't even call it magic mushrooms anymore. You know, I just right. say psilocybin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think honestly, those drugs are more safer than alcohol.
Right.
But anyway, that's just me. any topics you have, any other things on your mind that you'd like to talk about that you want to put out there to anybody, all of your supporters? I'm your supporter, so you got that.
Thank you. So I guess maybe the fear that comes with running independent, like I do want to protect everybody's gun rights. I love guns. I always have, with improper use. I want to protect healthcare. Children with autism. I know that was a really big controversy with some of the people that were running in the last election, how they voted against autism support. My 2-year-old, who's almost 3, is high functioning autistic. So that's something I will always back, and I will always fight for healthcare to include them as well. He's a really smart kid. If I would let him come outside, he'd probably talk to you full-blown conversation on the podcast.
Right on.
So,
yeah, I get it. It's your passion for sure.
Right.
And that's good. That's, I just did a podcast with a boxer, and that's Xavier Wilson. And that's one thing that we mm-hmm. talked about was passion. You have to have a passion in life, because life doesn't matter unless right. you have something that you stand for.
Exactly. And I'm seeing more and more, I have more passions for different things. Like I'm always going to have my passion for my vets. I have my passion for autism awareness and acceptance, small businesses, and just like bringing us together in unity. Like I don't want us to be divided. I wanted us to unite and actually bring forth a better America.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're doing that, because it's either, you know, if you're a liberal, conservative, you know, each side is at each other's throats right now.
Mm-hmm. And in my view, I like things from both sides. Like I like things that Democrats do. I like things that Republicans do. I'm just not going to label myself either one.
Yeah. I appreciate that too. That's good. Yeah. I think the two-party system is flawed for sure.
It is. And whenever I had talked to a few people, because I wanted to run for governor in 2025, it was before I got this wild idea this year, but they were like, oh, well, you can run constitutional. And then I started looking over things, and Virginia is only a 2-party system. There's no such thing as constitutional. So I don't know where they learned that, but I think it would be nice to get in a party that was constitutional.
Absolutely.
We are oath keepers, and I will hold my oath to the United States and the Constitution. I got to figure out a way to win Northern Virginia.
Yeah, and the Portsmouth area, right? Those are pretty big blue areas. I think I wouldn't say pander, that's not the right word, but, you know, discuss what you just said to me, how you like both parties and how you think, you know, there's good ideas on both sides.
Right.
I think most people are independent generally anyway.
Right. And I did learn from the elections committee or board, I think it's a board in Virginia, that nobody registers as a certain party in Virginia. Mm-hmm. You're just who you are. And when you go to the polls, you vote for who you want. In Kentucky, where I used to live, like you registered for your party, and when you went to get your ballot, that on the screen popped up whatever party you were was who popped up on your screen.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So, I've never done paper ballots till Virginia either. And that was another thing that I thought was kind of weird. Like Kentucky's electronic ballot.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about mail-in ballots?
So I believe that mail-in ballots should be for our military and for our elderly or our disabled. I don't think they should just be for anyone. I feel that everybody should get their chance to make it to the polls on election day. And then, you know, the ones who can't make it, our military, they're in different states in their home of records. They should get to do it, our deployed military. And then, like I said, our elderly are the ones that are disabled or sick.
Not just because you want to, basically.
Exactly, because that's when you get to tamper and fraud.
Yeah. Do you believe there's fraud out there for this past election?
I do.
Yeah. I think it's pretty prevalent, actually.
I do, too. I think that a lot of people are turning the blind eye to it.
And it's sad. That's the problem with, I think, having online elections, too.
Right.
It's so easily hacked, or it's so easily, you know, tampered with that, you know, you can never trust it.
And I think that, sorry about that. I had a phone call come through. I think that the media has to learn their place in the election and that they're not the ones that call the election.
Yeah. That's funny you say that. Because
at the end of the day, I think it's November or December the 14th is when the Electoral College starts their proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't stop until December the 23rd.
Right.
And each one of them can go against the certification, and all they do is pay a fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm. And I think it was like over the past 12 elections, the Democrats have won almost every election, and only 3 Democrats went into office.
Wow. Cheaters. Yeah. Cheaters. I'm trying not to get too, I'm trying to stay neutral, but it's hard sometimes.
A lot of people disagree with Electoral College, but I think after watching all the fraud that it's pretty nice to have somebody that has the final say.
Sure.
And it also look at the best interest.
I think it's important too, because it also gives Rhode Island the same amount of a vote or power as California or New York or Florida, you know.
And then if it gets to a point where fraud's too proliferant and it has to go like to the Supreme Court, I think that's when each state gets one vote. And then you deal with what you get. Part of me feels that each state should only have one vote to begin with.
Mm-hmm. So, are you going to go around Virginia, and are you going to start a road trip and start talking to people and start getting out there and putting your
name? So that is our plan. We want to start campaigning. I need to follow COVID restrictions. So I believe that as we move forward in 2021 towards March, April, when restrictions start lessening, that we'll be able to do more than I could right now. I learned today that the 25 limit includes the employees that are in the building already.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that was something I didn't know either, because beforehand it was 25 customers and then your work staff. And now it's all the employees plus whoever walks through the door.
That sucks.
That's something that kind of rubbed me the wrong way as well, because most of your work staff stays in the back. They stay in the house or the kitchen. And then you have so many people in the front. So I feel like you shouldn't be counting the employees in the limit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something I would fight to change too, is not to count the employees.
Yeah. Or just open it. Would you, if it were up to you, would you consider opening it up completely?
So I would open our businesses back up to their capacity.
Nice.
I feel that, it may need to be something that we lead up to a quicker phasing than what's happened. Like, I think we were stuck in phase 3 for the last 4 months. So, it would be gradual, but a lot faster pacing. And I know some people are going to side with it and some are going to be against it. So, and I've learned that that's just the way that elections are going to be. So some people are going to be extremely for me and some people are going to be like, oh, well, she doesn't need to get office.
Yeah.
I have looked at, I believe right now there's 4 Republican lieutenant governors running and 5 Democratic lieutenant governors running. And so far I'm the youngest running.
you got that against you. I mean, not against you, for you.
Right.
Because most people I talk to a lot of people in their 20s and early 30s, and they talk about a lot how everyone in politics seem old, you know, mm-hmm. And they need younger faces in politics.
Right.
So, yeah, you got that there for you, for real. You know,
that's why I wanted to be the youngest person that ever run for United States president. But thanks to my birth year, that does not work out.
Oh, why's that?
So if I went to run, if I want to run for presidency, I think it has to be 2028. I couldn't run in 2024 because I'll be 34.
Oh, yeah. You got to be 35. Gotcha.
Yep.
Oh, well, that would have been cool, though.
Right. I think if I'm correct, JFK was our youngest president.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're absolutely right.
I think he came in at 37, 38.
Mm-hmm. You said you were going to go back, you go out and start campaigning. What do you think your first stop would be?
So I think my first stop will be Northern VA, near DC, like the Alexandria, Arlington, areas.
The more liberal areas, sure.
Right.
I got you.
I'm
really happy for you, and I'm going to be rooting for you, and I'm definitely going to do what I can to you know, help you win, to be honest.
Thank you.
Just because of this past year, how, you know, you've been so, so nice to me after even blowing you off, not meaning to, you know, that was because I have these bouts of depression. It comes and goes. It goes for like the worst time is winter depression.
Mm-hmm. But,
I'll be depressed for a few months and then I'm good for a couple of weeks, maybe get back into it, you know, stuff like that. So.
No, I completely get it. And I fight that same bat. In July, I had a stroke on the 11th and I just kind of went incognito from everybody.
Oh no.
And I just stayed to myself. So it was, I didn't know how it was going to go. It was a really scary day. I was on my motorcycle when it happened. So we were on a move over ride to raise awareness for people that need to move over and watch out for motorcycles.
Okay. And so, what happened? You were just driving and it just.
So I was driving and I noticed my back started bothering me really bad. And then I couldn't feel like my leg, so I was trying to reposition, and then my arm and hand started going numb, and I was like, I can't control my clutch, like I can't reach it and grab it in because I can't feel my hand. And about that time we were pulling back to the end of the stop and EMS was there because it was a move over ride, and we tried to get the community involved with the fire trucks and the EMS, and I was like, something's not right, I can't feel this side. My face wasn't moving on this side. And they're like, okay, just sit down for a minute. We're going to see what's wrong. And it was about 20 minutes later, I was at SPOTC and they had a neurologist on the screen talking to me as they rode me in. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. Luckily the EMS were there. Oh my goodness. If that had happened anywhere else and you were by yourself or something, who knows?
That was one of my biggest fears. And when I was like, I don't want to stay. I don't like hospitals. They've never been a place I enjoy.
Yeah.
I was like, I just want to go home. Can I go home now? And they're like, no, you got to take TPA and you can't go home for 48 hours. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And then they wanted to fly me to Richmond, but I made them drive me to Richmond. It's not flying. So I got there eventually an hour and a half later, but.
Let's say you had someone gave you 30 seconds to describe yourself and why people would want to vote for you. A debate.
I am Jessica Rutz. I'm a 30-year-old mother of five. I'm a veteran. I support small business. I fight for our veterans. I fight to end veteran soldier suicide, and I'll protect your gun rights.
How can people follow you?
So you can follow me on facebook.com/Jessica Rutz. And I also, I don't have Instagram set up yet for candidacy. So right now, Facebook, Pretty soon we'll roll up the website and all that good stuff.
Twitter?
Nope, I don't have Twitter yet. I learned that Twitter and politics don't get you too far.
No, not at all.
You have to keep off the tweets.
That is true. Or keep off the politics. And
right.
Yeah. It's all it is trolls. That's all it is on Twitter. I don't even mess with Twitter. I post and ghost. So yeah, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram, RSAY podcast. Email me at 8blocksentertainment@gmail.com. Also, I have a Patreon. For $3 a month, you unlock exclusive videos, posts, blogs, all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, it helps support me, honestly. So yeah, if you want to go to patreon.com/8blocksentertainment for $3, you become a patron, you get exclusive stuff. There's a bunch of free stuff there too. Pretty much everything that's on my YouTube channel, you can watch for free at patreon.com/8blocksentertainment. And that's all I got. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jessica. I appreciate it. And good luck.
Thank you for having me.
This is awesome.